Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Sri Hari Nam Sankirtan ki.
ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमावों विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा वी वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर दिस प्रेरणा प्रोग्राम ऑर्गेनाइज्ड बाय श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ मंदिर चौपाटी मुंबई ऑफ कोर्स आई एम वर्चुअली प्रेजेंट विथ ऑल द मुंबई प्रेरणा यूथ अटेंडीज ऑल्दो आई एम करंटली सिटिंग इन पुणे आई कम टू चौपाटी एवरी ईयर एटलीस्ट फॉर वन प्रेरणा प्रोग्राम एटलीस्ट एंड इस्कॉन यूथ सर्विसेस वाज स्टार्टेड इन Bombay way back in the 90s by His Grace Gauranga Prabhu, followed by Gauru Gopal Prabhu and many other wonderful leaders. And it has been successfully expanded, and amongst all the programs, this Prerana is one most successful event happening every month. Even the lockdown could not stop it. It is still continuing now. Very happy about it. And all of you students have been attending these programs for years together. Many of the students joined bases in Mumbai, and in this way you are taking in such valuable message of the Gita in your personal lives, and even in the fast-paced life of Mumbai you are practicing Krishna consciousness, which is a very wonderful example for all of the youths. Also today, there are many other devotees connected to Pune and other parts of the world also joining this program. All of you are most welcome. This was a topic I had given, Sacred Secrets for Steadiness, because I felt it's a very important topic in the current times. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of how, like when you go to Kanyakumari, down south, you know, the boatman, when he calls you to come inside the boat, as soon as you go into the boat generally will go like this. You know, they have a broad boat like this. Broad goes like this, and you will be thrown to one side of the boat, and people would scream, everybody will scream. Whereas the boatman will be completely undisturbed. You know, he will keep this leg short like this, and this leg he will extend like this if the boat goes like this. And if the boat goes like this, he will extend this leg and keep this leg short like this. So I personally observed it. Why? because the boatman is used to riding the boat for years together and is very experienced in boating as well as in balancing nicely. So for him there is no fear. Many of us who are going into the boat for the first time, when it is toppling, we may think we are going to fall in the water or something. Similarly, Prabhupada gave the same example for our mind. If our mind is unsteady, we will find it going crazy in all directions. And we may get very shocked. It may be surprised for us why my mind is creating a hell for me. Like you find sometimes very big stars, even after acquiring so much wealth, so much fame, reputation, because of their inability to steady their mind, restrain their emotions, such people have committed suicide. So therefore I felt it's a very important topic for youth. Now this lockdown period has created a lot of fear, tension, and uncertainty of the future, and the employment worries, all these things for the youth. So they need to steady their mind. So in that sense, the word steadiness actually means balance of a mind. I have given you many definitions of steadiness inside. I'll proceed now. One of the meanings of the word steadiness means sukha dukkha same kritva labha labhau jaya jayau. Krishna is saying, my dear Arjun, in sukha dukkha, in pleasure and pain, and labh alabh, profit and loss, and jai parajay, victory and defeat. He says you should maintain equanimity of mind. He has said that. Na prakrishyet priyam prapya, not vijayet prapya cha priyam, stira buddhira sammoodho, brahma vid brahmani stitaha. See what he says. How helpful these verses are, even for the modern day youth. See, Krishna is telling here, na prakrishyet priyam prapya. If you get something very pleasurable, one should not jump like a monkey, he says. Why? Another day, something unpleasant may also come. Not vijayet prapya cha priyam. Apriya, if you get something not pleasurable, na udvijayet, don't become unsteady in mind, don't get agitated. It's a passing phase in life. Nothing to worry. Go on. In case once you failed, another time you can pass. What's the worry? Like a girl in South India who got 94% I think in her 12th standard, and then she wrote the NEET exam and she couldn't crack it. So all her friends were asking her, oh, why you missed it? What happened? What happened? So she ate some rat poison and died. She couldn't take it. So we find that people are unable to take failures in life. So Krishna says here, you know, your academics is not everything in life. It's one part of your life. Then you have your another part of life, which is playing games. There's another part of life, which is doing some gardening. There's another part of your life, you have some hobbies. Another part of your life is spiritual life with God. Then you have your life with your family members, mother, father and family. There are so many other aspects of life. Academics is one small aspect of your life. It's not everything. So you have to take it easy. So we need to develop the courage to face failures without becoming unsteady in the mind, agitated in the mind. You know, so therefore, an intelligent person should ask, I am a soul seated in this bodily machine, and this machine will be finished and one more machine will be given, just like a child moving from a tricycle to a bicycle to a bike to a car. Gradually as he grows up, the vehicles change, the person is same. So in this particular life, if somebody faced failure, so what is so bad about it? And then either you succeed in this very life or you will succeed in another life. Krishna says, take it easy. Don't worry too much about the temporary things. Don't get bogged down by them. Na prakrishyet priyam prapya, na udvijayet prapya cha priyam, sthira buddhi rasam moodo. Be steady, Krishna says. Be equipoised in both. Actually, in the scriptures, there are extreme examples of very steady people. So I'll tell you one example, don't be shocked how this person can be like this. His name is Jadabharata. This Jadabharata, you know, he was a great devotee inside his heart, pure devotee, but he didn't express it outside to people. He behaved like a deaf and dull and dumb man, so that people won't disturb him in his bhakti to Lord Shri Krishna. So sometimes his brothers would ignore him by giving him some burnt rice. He didn't complain. Whatever they gave, he just ate. He was all right. They made him a scarecrow in the field. He was ready to stand there, you know, driving away the crows and all. This was his brothers who mistreated him. But his father treated him very nicely. He spoke sweetly to him, very lovingly, and he tried to train the son. So in the home, he got pleasant and unpleasant situation. Later on, when Jadabharata was going through a forest, some Kali, Bhadrakali, Ma Bhadrakali's dacoits, worshippers of Bhadrakali, they caught him in the forest and took him to that place, and they had a plan to give Narabali of him. Although such things are not mentioned in the scriptures anywhere. But they had the thought that we will cut the head of this fellow and feed it to Kali so that we can achieve our goals of stealing here, stealing there and all that. So they bathed him, put a very costly dress in his body, and they fed him nice feast, big feast. And they put chandan, kumkum, very costly silk, all clothes they put for him. So here is an example of sukha. They gave him a lot of sukha in the beginning. And then they put him on the bali pit, and they took a sword to cut his neck. And that was dukkha. So they were trying to give him sukha, dukkha, both. But then Ma Kali burst open from the vigraha, came out and killed all the dacoits and protected Jadabharata. So, but most amazing thing, Jadabharata was completely peaceful, steady, even in such a situation. Can you imagine? Extreme example. Later on, when Jadabharata was further going in the forest, there was one king, Rahugana, who was going in a palanquin, palki, carried by four men. So one of those four men got this Jadabharata to come and take part in lifting the palanquin. So Jadabharata was lifting, and he had a very hefty, nice body, so he was lifting. But on the way he saw the ants, and he didn't want to torture the ants by his foot. So he went in a little zigzag way. The king thoroughly insulted him. He said, "I will punish you, like Yamaraj punishes his people in the hell." He said, "Why are you not carrying the palanquin properly?" So he got chastisement, although he didn't deserve it. He was not servant of the king. He was a passerby. But he got very sharp words of humiliation. Then later on, the king, hearing his speech about the soul and body, immediately king got off from the palanquin and fell at the feet of Jadabharata and made Jadabharata his guru and gave him all honor. So in this way, he got honor and dishonor. He got pleasure and pain. He got shita ushna, that means favorable and unfavorable circumstances at home. In all the situations, he was steady in mind. Equanimity, he was steady in mind. So this is one meaning of steady. So none of us may face such situations in our life. Can you think of dacoits trying to cut our head? Or being publicly humiliated by the king? So you can see that in our lives also, we all face some ups and downs, some difficulties. So the goal of this seminar is that we learn steadiness to face failures with courage, and to be sober and cool-minded even when we succeed, not become complacent in our success. So it's all to do with our mind. So let us proceed. I am first few, four or five slides I am going to show you, some section of Srila Prabhupada's purports, so that you get an idea about the term steadiness. Here Prabhupada is saying, here you see, unless one is determined, there is no possibility of advancement. Similarly, the words full conviction are used, and again, from whatever and wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature. See, unsteady, he says. Due to flickering means agitating nature. One must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So one must certainly withdraw it. And the result of such steadiness or perseverance is stated in the later verses 29-30. That is, Yomam Pachit Sarvatra. When one has made the mind steady, then one can see the Lord everywhere. And one can be very peaceful. One becomes calm, cool, collected by seeing the Lord everywhere. Krishna says that. So, here Prabhupada is using it in the sense of mind is flickering means wavering, getting agitated. And why this agitation comes in our mind? It is exactly like in a hard disk there is a virus which has entered, and the virus actually causes the computer to hang. Similarly, when the viruses of lust, anger and greed, these three are most prominent viruses in our mind, lust, anger and greed. So when they enter, then the mind becomes unsteady. One more definition here. Steadiness comes from being constantly engaged in serving Guru and Krishna, he says. That means, by engaging in devotional service, the impurities are removed. It's like washing a cloth. When you wash the cloth, wear a fresh cloth, you will look very nice. Similarly, the mind is washed of its impurity by serving Guru and Krishna. Then mind becomes steady, calm, cool, collected. In this way, he is saying here that there is so much work to do for Krishna that you can be totally carried away in that. Love is both a verb and noun. Okay, so practice loving Krishna by engaging yourself in service, he says. So Burijan Prabhu writes this. Prabhupada's basic desire for his disciples was that they served steadily. Here another meaning. Here served steadily means consistently. In this day and age we find we have a very hyperactive mind which hops and jumps from attention on one work to attention on another work. It doesn't stay. Just like people sometimes take the remote in the hand and keep on changing 120, 150 channels in television. What's happening here? Let me see what's happening there. They don't see one thing properly. Similarly, one may get very distracted and not be steady. In the same manner, Prabhupada actually was looking for devotees who will steadily do a service for prolonged number of years. For long number of years. So, and without any creating disturbance to others, without getting disturbed oneself, steadily one can go on for long service. So in English we call it as a consistency. For example, you are all students, many of you. When you sit to study a book, imagine you have the mind to have the focus for 4 hours at a stretch, you know, without even looking here or there. You don't even know in which place you are in. You just get absorbed in the book. That is one aspect of steadiness. One point at concentration and ability to hold on to one thing for a prolonged period of time. Same way with service also. And steady service will be more pleasing to our spiritual master than glowing but fleeting service. Sometimes you have seen this flower pot, we call it. During the Diwali time we used to play the cracker. And it will be triangular in shape like this. It's like a pyramid. You put the fire on that. That's all finished. It will be very powerful only for a few moments only. Lot of fire particles come, it's finished. On the other hand, we would sometimes play this 10,000 bala, we used to call it. 10,000 bala means lot of small crackers in that. You just, you know, ignite it once. Slowly it will start up. Top, 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 top. It will go on for half an hour, it will go practically. So, do we want to be like a flower pot? That's all. Or we want to go like a, you know, 10,000 wala. So anything we do in our life, we should be like 10,000 wala. Our steady enthusiasm is required. Not just, we call it the Arambashuratanam, we call it. Arambashuratanam is only Shurveer in the beginning. Afterwards, some people make a big sound and they go away. They don't steadily do. So here is saying that Prabhupada was looking for people who will be steady. One should situate himself in a position wherein he can most steadily continue his devotional service and cultivate Krishna consciousness. One example Prabhupada gave, the Gajendra elephant was fighting with a crocodile in the water. So there Prabhupada writes in a purport, now Gajendra should think which place is better for him to fight, land or the water? The land. Because if the crocodile was on the land, the elephant would have made a chutney out of him. And now if the elephant is inside the water, being pulled by the crocodile, in water who is stronger? Crocodile is stronger. So he became weak. Gajendra couldn't fight with him inside the water. So Prabhupada said this example for highlighting one very important point. He gave sannyas to some people in his times. And he saw some of them couldn't maintain it. They gave up. And then Prabhupada said, see, you are not fit for holding sannyas. Therefore, one shouldn't take sannyas like that. And then he said, that doesn't mean you have to give up Krishna consciousness and go away. If you cannot fight in sannyas ashrama against maya, you should actually be a grihastha and continue to fight against maya in grihastha ashrama. Fight you must, either in water or on land. Say, the water element is like sannyas ashrama and land element is like grihastha ashrama for that elephant. So he is able to fare better in land. So similarly, all of us have to choose one position in life, either brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, and be steady in that ashram and put our efforts in keeping maya away and remaining in Lord's shelter. So steadily we should be able to fight without getting tired. Not that sometime we are Krishna conscious, sometime we are with maya like a chameleon. You know chameleon? Chameleon is a lizard kind of thing, which sometimes on grass it is green. When it goes on the tree, it is brown. So we should not change colors. We should be able to remain steady in devotional service. Like I met my spiritual master in way back in 1991, when I came to Chopati, Radha Gopinath temple. And Maharaj was very humble personality, very simple. He would give nice Chaitanya Leela classes. Now, it is 2020 now, almost 30 years, close to 30 years I have seen him. He's the same person, steady. No change. He is still glorifying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Yatra, he can give 4-hour lectures, he will give. And with all Vaishnavas, he is always humble. And he delights a lot in practically worshipping his God brothers. He is completely satisfied in Krishna consciousness. And always is a well-wisher of everybody. So, see, this is the point. If you see a person steadily, day after day, month after month, year after year, then you get very inspired also. And that type of steadiness or consistency is required. There are people in our ISKCON, India, His Holiness Jayapada Goswami Maharaj, His Holiness Gopalakrishna Goswami Maharaj, His Holiness Lokanath Maharaj, such kinds of people. Some of them have spent 50 years, close to 50, because they came in 1966 or 68 or so. So, this is steadiness, consistency. And the world has seen them steadily going on and on. So in this way, this steadiness means consistency. Here in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, steadiness means that one should be very determined to make progress in spiritual life. Without such determination, one cannot make any tangible progress. Yeah, determination is required to go on and on. When going gets tough, the tough get going, it is said, no? Like you might have seen the advertisements for certain tires and all in the TV. So do they show the vehicle going in a smooth road or in a mountain, very rough and mountainous area? What they show? Yeah, they show a mountainous area, a lot of big and small stones. And you may wonder, why are they driving in such a place? They drive the car or scooter or something, isn't it? And then they later on they will say, this tire is such a tough tire. Even it has seen the rough roads, it is so strong. Correct, no? So, in the same manner, in rough times, in our life there are some rough seas. Or like we say, time of storm, time of calm, we call it. Time of calm means everything is smooth sailing. And time of storm means there are dangers. In both fair weather and foul weather, if a person can you know, steadily go on making progress in spiritual life. That is a wonderful devotee. For that one requires determination. That is the meaning of the steadiness. One should be very determined to make progress in spiritual life. So, because this world will pose challenges for us, sometime or other, challenges will come our way. But therefore earlier it was said, if one is always serving Krishna very busily, and Guru and Krishna, then he will be able to continue steadily in all type of situations. So in this way, steadiness has various meanings. One last one here, I think. Here is a interesting point. By the association of pure devotees, all the obstacles were removed for the Narada boy. And then later on, after elimination of all sins or obstacles in the path of devotion service, one can become attracted and then one can have steadiness. So in the path of bhakti yoga, we call it as anartha nivritti. Like we say, first you have little shraddha, means faith. And then you associate with saintly people, Vaishnavas. And then they give you mala, you chant Hare Krishna. And then all the bad habits will go away. Like meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, they all go away. And then you come to nishtha, steadiness. Then you become a steady devotee. That's what is mentioned here. Okay, now I'm getting into the seminar now. So I will give you an overall picture how the seminar will go. Because the steadiness is all about our mind. And I already clearly told you, the mind has certain impurities, which actually originate from our thought. Watch your thoughts, otherwise they become words. Watch your words, they become actions and behavior. Watch your behavior regularly, otherwise they turn into habits. And if you don't watch our habits, gradually it turns into our character. And that's how our character is formed. And then that turns into culture eventually. So therefore, this seminar is all about going directly to the point of understanding the nature of our workings of the mind, which is often times unknown to the modern man. Modern man actually is being tormented by his mind like anything. And up to the point of committing suicide. He doesn't even know who he is and what his mind is. And Bhagavad Gita has abundant knowledge, information about it. Therefore, if Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita, Uddare dātmanātmānam ātmānam avasādayet ātmaiva hi ātmano bandur ātmaiva ripur ātmanaha. Very beautiful verse. He says, Uddare means, Arjuna, the mind should be utilized for elevating the soul back to his original position. For that purpose, mind should be utilized. And if we don't utilize the mind, then if the mind makes us a slave, making several demands, then the mind, uncontrolled mind, can be a great enemy for us. Here you see the red one is the mind. It is torturing. The living entity is suffering in this body with the mind. So which one you all think the modern man situation is, the left one or the right one? Is his mind controlled or uncontrolled? So, if you are becoming more and more Krishna conscious, then it will be like the left side. You can shake hands with the mind, and mind will cooperate with you. And you can engage mind in Krishna consciousness. Savai mana Krishna pada aravindiyo. And if you let the mind loose, then it will be like the right side. You see the red fellow subduing you, and we will land in trouble. Whenever I hear about anybody committing suicide, I think about this only. Because they have let the mind go. Let the mind, they have let it loose. They have not controlled the mind. They have left the impure mind. You know, just as a knife has a good and bad, knife is not good or bad, but it has a good and bad purpose for which it can be engaged. Like a doctor can, surgeon can engage and save someone's life. A miscreant can used to strangle somebody and kill somebody, isn't it? With the same knife. So mind can also, like you see, if you have a key with you, you can use the key to open the room. Or you can use the same key to lock up the room. So this is said about the mind in the scriptures. Banduratmat, no, not that verse. There's another verse which says, Mana yeva manushyanam karanam bandha moksha yoho. It is said, no? The mind is the cause of Karanam bandha means you are locked up in the room of this body. Moksha yoga means you are liberated from this body. Just like a bird. A bird can get locked up or a bird can be liberated. So our mind is also like that, it is said. Like you can see, if we have trained the mind, then the mind can be utilized for getting liberated. Otherwise, it can be bound. I'll show you just one small video. You can see this one. Sound will come.
Ties this pitcher to a tree with a very small opening. And the monkey comes, puts his hand into the pitcher, grabs the sweet. As it closes its fist to grab this bait, the opening is so small that a closed fist cannot come out of its mouth. But the monkey does not understand that all it has to do is let go of its little booty to free itself from slavery. It struggles and struggles to get its hand out, but doesn't open its fist and let go of the bait. Continues for all night, and in the morning, the shoot hunters come and catch it, all because of its attachment to it.
You saw now how the monkey got caught. You saw now why he got caught, because attached to the nuts. He didn't want to give up the ground nuts. He thought, oh, it's fun eating ground nuts, and I didn't want to give up. So he had to lose his whole freedom in the forest. He was living happily in the tree, jumping from one tree to another. Now these fellows caught and took him. Now they'll take him to village. They'll show a stick. Jump over this. He'll jump. Jump here. Now we may say, I am not as foolish as this monkey, but there are so many boys who have a monkey-like mind because of which they have become attached to some girl. And the girl is making them jump like a monkey. Hey, go and get me that. Hey, get me this. And they're jumping. They'll put a salute and they're jumping. Running also. So do you think I am just joking? It's a fact actually. You can see the world around us. So if we are attached for sense gratification, we have to be ready to be caught like this monkey. So the very same mind can bind us. Our mind can liberate us. So this is the verse Arjuna asked Krishna. Chanchalam himana Krishna Pramathi balavadridham Tasyaham nigraham manye Vayoriva sudushkaram. See, Arjuna is telling, my dear Krishna, this mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate and very strong. And to subdue it, I think, is more difficult than controlling the wind. See, Arjuna is a very great devotee as well as a warrior. And he is saying his mind is very difficult to control. See, three words he is using here. Pramati, Balavat, Dridam. Three words he is using. He is saying it's mad, he is saying. Not only it's mad, imagine somebody has been in a mental asylum, a madman. He has come out of the hospital on the road. But not only he is mad, he is a very stout and strong man. A very powerful man. Not only stout and strong, he has a knife also in the hand. And he is whirling it all around. Can you imagine how dangerous he could be? Such a man could be. Think about it. So he is saying he is dridam, he is very strong, he is obstinate. And he is saying it's very turbulent. So it's like controlling a whirlwind. It is so difficult, he is saying. So Krishna will answer this question and I will show you the answer later. But the point has to be understood that, you know, if we don't understand how powerful is our mind and how impurities in the mind are torturing us, troubling us, if we don't understand it well, then we will always be a slave of the mind. Pujan size. A small boy controls the elephant with a small ankush stick. So why is Krishna having that symbol below his feet? All Krishna's devotees who take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, the ankush controls their mind, which is like a elephant. That's one reason. And there is another reason why we are comparing mind to the elephant. We are not comparing it with a lion or a tiger. Why? Because you can never tame a tiger and a lion and walk it in a street like you walk a dog. Can you? Of course you can keep lion and tiger in the zoo. Where? In a cage. But have you seen anybody walking a lion on the road? Or walking a tiger on the road? But you can see people walking a elephant. That means the elephant has two phases of his life. One is the mad face of the elephant. Another one is the good face of the elephant. So, I have a video, it will take time to show, but I'll show you only a couple of minutes, I'll show you. So, you'll get an idea. Saw how elephant can be very dangerous. So don't get too frightened. I'll show you another one. The good side of an elephant.
It's so huge.
Picture with so much concentration and attention.
Jingling.
Yeah, he's got a trunk full of change.
Okay, let's sit down to pass the picture and listen to the message too.
Oops.
So I can show you the whole thing, only it will take some time. But I'll show you a little skip and go ahead and show you. See what he has done. He's drawing flowers also. See the other elephants. This is the elephant carrying the Lord on a procession. Okay, now you saw two things. You saw a mad elephant and a good elephant. Our mind also could be a good mind or a bad mind. That's the point. Mind is extremely mighty and very powerful. We can be like either of the elephants. If we have allowed our mind to capture impurities in this world, like lust, anger and greed, such an impure mind acts like a mad elephant, uncontrollably, creating so much menace in the society for others, trouble for ourselves and others. So, our mind is also stubborn like an elephant. It's a very mighty, very powerful animal. It can actually uproot a tree. You saw he was lifting the whole bike and autos. So much strength. And the elephant can uproot a tree or carry logs of wood. So it's in our hands how we want to. So from here on, I have shown you four lessons about the mind, which will be very helpful. This is the first one. William Blake says here, the mind can make a heaven out of hell or hell out of heaven. Let us see how. So all these different modern day issues are all due to the uncontrolled mind, like you saw the uncontrolled elephant because of it. And you can also see the results of in the society, the criminalism increasing and the violence increasing, suicides and prostitution and all things increasing because of that. So on a personal level, you can see how we suffer in our life due to uncontrolled sleep, uncontrolled eating. So these are some of the problems we all face with our impure mind. So the shortcomings of the mind have been studied by modern man, only he doesn't have oftentimes the proper solution to that. At least we should be aware of the problems. Like here you say, a pessimist means he doesn't see the good side of life at all. But optimist is one who sees the sunny side of life. And the comfort zone actually limits us, although we have tremendous capacity, the comfort zone actually puts a mental barrier for us. Like sometimes you find in a village a bull has a very stout and strong body, but it doesn't plow the field. It's just sitting in one place, idling. It's actually under-engaged. That's because of the comfort zone. Similarly, imagining problems which don't exist. Many a times, our mind is chronically negative. Imagining that lorry is coming in front of me, it'll hit me, or I may get some deadly disease, which doesn't exist. One imagines many problems. Actually, these are all due to our upbringing. Our upbringing of the... I will show you where are these things coming from, you will see. So here I was showing you that these things, the point I showed you was... This is the one. Mind can make a heaven in your life or hell in your life. For example, as soon as you look at somebody in society, anybody, what is the first thought that comes in your mind? Think about it. Say, you send a boy to the garden. When he comes back, ask him, what did you see? He may say that, oh, the garden is full of thorny bushes. Or another boy may come back and say, oh, I saw the garden was full of beautiful roses. Both of them went to the same garden. So it depends on what you choose to see in life. So in the same manner, I am talking about a garden. You can also talk about the people around us. So there are people with high energy, positive, they can do so many good things. But what do we want to see in them is our choice. So, not only people, even the situations. Somebody may look at the sky and say that, oh, today is a very gloomy day, a very cloudy day, so half a day I didn't do any work. I was just lazy on my table. So the environment affects their performance. The people's words, what the people speak to them around them affects their performance. So their own mind affects their performance. So therefore, they make a hell out of heaven in their life. So the second point, this is the second point. Unsteady and impure mind chases after misery traps. Oh, this is a very important one. How the crazy mind, how it puts us in trouble is very nicely shown here. For example, here, see the rat. See the creatures like rat and fish, they are always looking for food. They use their intelligence to search for food here and there. Now here is of course for him, the rice, wheat, you know, other items are available everywhere, which the rat can eat. But when he sees a sonbabdi, or something like that kept in a trap, he becomes allured by it. So because he was allured by it, he got trapped, he died. You see, he lost his life itself. Similarly, the fish also. In the ocean, he gets a lot of eatables, but simple, basic eatables. Generally, in this world, there is no much competition for the normal eatables. But when there is something special, special item, like people ask for a gulab jamun second time, third time, correct, no? But if you're keeping a bucket of dal, sabji, there is no big competition for that. Isn't it? Similarly, the fish also thinks, oh, there is a worm in the hook. So he thinks, I will take the worm and come go into the ocean again without getting hooked by the hook. But then he is dead. He's caught by the hook. So in this way, here is the explanation. You can see, they don't know it was a trap. Therefore, human beings are superior to animals because we can understand in this world why are we suffering? What is Maya? How this world is created in such a way? What is right? What is wrong? What to do? What not to do? These are all taught to us. Oftentimes, when they don't get food in the place where they are around, then it may be their food itself, necessary food. It may be. Whereas on the part of a human being, he has many traps like drug injection, a smoking cigarette, or tobacco, all are the statutory warnings are given. Still he takes them. Now if you see, human beings are aware it is a trap. I saw an advertisement for the cigar. A young boy, you know, takes a cigar in the hand and he smokes like this. And then they had written that cigarette smoking is injurious to health. After they put that, the boy says, "Who cares?" Like that he smiles. And then he, you know, puts the smoke like that. So what do people carry with them? Who cares? Although they put statutory warning, the boy very stylishly says, "Who cares?" And then people think, oh, I will also say the same thing, "Who cares?" and go on smoking. And then their lungs become charred lungs and they die. So in this way, human beings are educated scientifically on the ill effects of bad habits, but they are gone. So this is how we get into various misery traps. Like this picture you see here, inside our head, there are so many things filling up. Now, pounds or dollars or man-woman relationships, some love affairs, some playing guitar, so many different things. So all this, where have these things come from? Where are these things coming from? What we are storing in the mind? As soon as there is some free time, immediately your mind goes to various thoughts. But these thoughts, where did you get them from? So, actually, right from our childhood, the kind of teachers you had, the kind of parents' upbringing you had, the kind of novels you read. I heard that there was a detective novel in America. When it came out, then in some 10 different places, certain murders and all took place because that was based on this novel. Somebody has read it and they have taken some ideas and they have implemented it. So you will find that, you know, you are where your mind is, it is said. So we absorb our behavior, our thought process, habit, everything from the things that we take in. So, yeah. Actually, Prabhupada writes, I will show you the purport. Prabhupada writes that mind should never be left empty. It has to be filled with positive vibrations like reading, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramayana, Mahabharata, Vedic literature. So then we have good scripts with us to use in our life in a very positive way. That was the second thing. What is the second title I showed you? Misery Traps, correct, no? And this is the third one. Unsteady mind leads to bad habits that affect even your career. So this is something of interest to you, because all of you students, when you graduate from the college, you are looking for a bright career ahead. But whether you will have a bright career or a bleak career is in your hands, your habits especially. It's not that one has earned a degree, you got a distinction. That's not the only thing companies see. You can see here what company boss may see. See this fellow. He has no control over his eating. How can he be fit to work? That's what the boss will think. You know, if a person has a habit of drinking, he can't give up. Then the company will think, what to do with this fellow. Yeah. Like this, there are, you know, somebody unnecessarily interferes with someone else in the company. So because somebody has a broken marriage, he's inattentive in work. And this fellow is actually having a heated argument with everybody. He can't work with anybody. Somebody is not confident at work. He has incompetence, insecurity. He is pulling the leg of others and doesn't do good work, productive work. So this is one of the problems that many companies are facing nowadays. Whom to recruit? How can I get someone with the nice habits? They're looking for... Of course, many companies are ready to pay a good sum, provided they can get qualified people. And one of the reasons for lack of good qualification is uncontrolled mind. Actually, the mind is like a microprocessor, and our hands, legs are like servo motors, like the linear and rotary movements. So whatever we write here, if I have taken impure vibrations, vibes here, then those impure vibes will conduct the hands and legs. Otherwise, the pure vibes, they will conduct. Now onwards you will see many of the points coming about solutions. How do we manage our desires? We have some legitimate desires, some are illegal desires. So we have to manage our mind. By studying the Bhagavad Gita, you come to know what is right to desire, what is improper to desire. So by managing the mind, eventually we can manage the desires. How to manage mind, we are going to discuss now eventually. How will I get discrimination to know what is right, what is wrong? I have to sharpen my intelligence. And Viveka Buddhi, where does it come from? It comes from hearing from very wise people, learned people who have studied scriptures and living a life in accordance with scriptures. I have to hear from them. Or we can also read scriptures. Like Prabhupada has given us more than 100 books by studying the scriptures and listening to the wisdom words by great souls. Okay, how can we get the determination to do, to give up bad habits and all? How can we do that? In the company of like-minded devotees, it is very easy. Like we say, birds of the same feather flock together. It's very easy. And also, we should also be eager. Sometimes you have a company of very good devotees, but we are not sufficiently enthusiastic. We tell everybody, you all go back to Godhead, I will come at a later time. And I want to relax a bit. So then eagerness is not there. It's not possible. And the prayer is a very powerful tool. Because Krishna says, Mameveye prapadyante mayametam tarantite. Arjuna, by taking shelter of me, one can very easily cross over maya with no difficulty at all. Even the Alcoholic Anonymous, Narcotic Anonymous and such organizations, the very first thing they do is to teach their people on praying, on bowing down to God, saluting Him, praying to Him, drawing his energy from God. So they teach about that. And repentance and remorse and prayer, begging for apologies, you will see that there have been confession practice in the churches also, similarly in temples. So the whole idea is going in front of God and bowing down to Him, crying tears of repentance, and also developing a very strong desire to lead a righteous life, pure life, and chanting the holy name, and studying the scriptures, and surrounding ourselves with devotees. These are all very simple things anybody can do in our life. So how do we do de-addiction? For every activity, we have to find a substitute. Like you are reading some novels, which are written by speculative fellows. So many speculators are writing novels nowadays. Then replace them. You have a habit of reading, then read Prabhupada books. Similarly, you have a habit of watching movie, then watch in Chopati, there are more than 100 dramas. So we have to actually replace them. If you don't have a replacement, we are going to switch back to the old habits. And this is the last one. How do we win the mind intelligence tug of war? Actually, intelligence goes by reason. Mind goes by emotion. And which is good? Is going by emotion good? If you go by emotion, we are going to be misled. And going by reason means going by, like for example, you have to go to college to cross the road. So mind says, oh, it's getting late. The bell is ringing, just cross the road and go. But intelligence says, there are cars and buses going very fast. If I just run across the road now, I may never reach the other side. So you will see that many times the intelligence is a mature voice inside us. And the mind is a childish voice. And many times we all tend to go by emotions. Like for example, a child wants to always play, and the parents want the child always study. So the parents take the role of intelligence and the child takes the role of the mind. Similarly, the child always wants to eat chocolates, and the parents don't want him to lose his teeth. So they want him to give him fruits, things like that. So the idea is, you will see, it's very clearly understandable that the mind always chases after traps where we can become eventually slave of our mind and senses. So as you see here, mind and intelligence. So somebody may tell you, your friends may tell you, just smoke a cigarette and at least know how to hold it. But then your intelligence will give good preaching. Your parents will not like to see you becoming an addict. For your health it's not good. So in this way, you can see that I'm just giving one example. You can think in all different examples. There are many pleasurable things, but there are things which we do based on principle. Like Arjuna and Duryodhana, you can take. Duryodhana went by pleasure. He thought, I will wipe out the Pandavas and I will rule the whole world. But Arjuna went by principle. There is one verse in Bhagavad Gita which Arjuna says, Yadi mama pratikaram ashastram shastrapanayah dhartarashtran rane hanyahustan me kshemataram bhavet. Krishna, sometimes I feel that with unarmed, put aside my bow and arrow, with empty arms I will go to the opposite side and let them kill me, Kauravas. Why should I, wage this war against my cousins and uncles and gurus and such kinds of people? And my character will be tainted with blood, which I don't want. So Arjuna's nobility, Arjuna's principle-centered approach can be seen. And on the other hand, Duryodhana was least concerned about killing all the Pandavas. He made several attempts to kill them. You can see that. So our mind, you will see, mind doesn't care about the consequences. Mind always thinks about immediate pleasure. You know, way back in 1950s, experiment was done on the children by Stanford University. I heard that it was repeated in 1990 also, but in 1950 they had done also. One Sir Walter, Mr. Sir Walter, he was the first one to do that experiment on children. So they took small children and they gave them all, one sweet cube, and told them that after 20 minutes you will get one more if you don't eat now. Say half the children ended up eating, but there were other children who didn't eat it. They kept it. They could wait. And then they were given a second piece also to eat. So the Stanford University conducted research after they came to adolescent age. And they really found that those children who could restrain their mind and senses, when they came to the teenage, you know, they were well behaved and decent with the opposite sex. And the companies they joined, they gave a very good service contribution in the companies where they worked. And in the dealing and behavior with parents and neighbors, they were very well behaved. So they found that the self-restraint has got a lot to do with all these things. But the other children who could not control themselves, when they grew to teenage, naturally they did things that were leading to abortion. They ended up smoking and drinking. They could not control their senses. And many of them ended up in divorce, in marital relationships. And in the companies, they were underperformers. So in this way, the study clearly showed that the self-restraint should be taught right from the beginning. That's why Prahlad Maharaj says, Kaumaram macharet prajna. From the age of 5, spirituality should be, if the mind takes over, then we succumb. So I told you in the beginning of the class only today, look at this mind. It is a storehouse. There are two parts of the mind. Subconscious mind is called chitta, we call it. And there is conscious mind also. Conscious mind, right now you are in touch with the conscious mind. You can observe things. And subconscious mind is like a godown. It's deep inside. Many of us, it's like a glacier. If you take, only the tip is like the conscious mind. Subconscious mind is like the glacier below. Which actually subconscious mind has developed based on the inputs by your parents and teachers and grandparents and the novels you read and the movies that you watched. And in this lifetime and the previous lifetime also, everything is in the subconscious mind. So, these are the things we store, you see. Where are the inputs for the mind coming from? From the jnanendriyas. See, the jnanendriya takes input and gives to mind. The karmendriyas, like the hands, legs, you know, genitals, rectum and speech, they act based on the order given by the intelligence. So that means the mind takes in the data, and the mind is like a wife of the intelligence. The intelligence is like the husband. Mind is like the wife. The wife is telling husband, get me this. I saw these things, I like it, please get me this. The intelligence orders the working senses. And by knowing this mechanism, one can begin to work on the mind, studying the mind. This is a Upanishadic example of the 5 horses representing the 5 senses, the ropes representing the mind, and the intelligence, the driver. So now the white one is the soul, which is you or myself. All of us, we are sitting in our bodily chariot. This has come immediately after that. I'll show you one more picture, it will come now. These are the things which constitute the subconscious mind, these 4 things. Our own ahankar, our past life conditioning, our upbringing, and the association. These 4 things are currents which are there in us. They are almost impossible to change. But there is one way to change them, which is the 5th one, which is willpower. And this is the only thing we can work on now. The old things are there already. So if you, by working on the willpower, like here you see, the useful thoughts are the positive and the necessary thoughts. And the useless thoughts are the negative and wasteful thoughts. So for us to give up the negative and wasteful thoughts and focus on positive and necessary thoughts, we need willpower. Like here, I showed you the chariot there. Here is the example. You can see how the weak driver is unable to control the horses. And the soul sitting, he is in trouble. Because the whole wagon is going to topple now. The horses, look at their faces, how strong they are. And this is the condition of most of the modern youths. Their senses are taking over in uncontrolled fashion. And their intelligence is very weak because actual intelligence comes from Bhagavad Gita and such study of the scriptures. So having lost control, everybody is landing in trouble. And this is an ideal example. The driver is a very strong fellow. When the intelligence is very strong, then he can restrain the mind and the senses. Then the soul can be peaceful, yeah. And here is a answer given by Krishna to the question which I showed you before. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Asamshayam Mahabaho Manodur Nigraham Chalam Abhyasena Tu Kaunteya Vairagyena Chagrishyate. So here Krishna is telling, Arjuna, I know the mind is difficult to control, but you can do it and make it steady. How? By two things. Practice and detachment, he says. So Prabhupada writes in the purport like this. He says practice means it is a practice of Krishna consciousness. And he says Navavida Bhakti. What is it? Shravanam. Like you all are hearing now. This is also one type of bhakti which you are doing now. Kirtanam. I am speaking now. This is also one type of bhakti. Simply by engaging in this weekly once, or more than weekly once also, if you keep hearing regularly, this practice itself will bring us from darkness to light. Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya. We will become enlightened one. Then instead of, like, you know, there was a debate on, is youth meant for enjoyment or enlightenment? The answer is very simple. The answer is enlightened enjoyment. The enlightened enjoyment means first you get enlightened in Krishna consciousness, then you, all enjoyment in Krishna consciousness is available, which is enlightened enjoyment. You eat nice prasad. Other fellows go and dance in discotheque. Here you dance in temple in front of Krishna. Other fellows are hearing all kinds of rock music. Here you hear devotional music. What is not there in our life about it? So we have all types of enjoyment, but ours is enlightened enjoyment. So in the same manner, he's saying Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, remembering the Lord, and Archanam, Mandanam, Padasevanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, like that. There are Navavida Bhakti. Narada is teaching to Dhruva, you are seeing in the picture. And most important in this are two things, Shravanam and Kirtanam. So in Shravanam, one is the hearing the Katha of the Lord, or philosophy like you are hearing now, and another one is the chanting, chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's very calming to the mind. It cleanses the mind. Yan nama shruti matrena puman bhavati nirmalaha. This is told in the Ambarish Maharaja section. By nama shruti, by hearing the holy name, the heart is cleansed of what? The heart is cleansed of these three main diseases or viruses: lust, anger and greed, which are actually called the three gateways to hell by Krishna. Trividam narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanah kama krodha tata lobas tasmat etat trayam tyajet. Krishna is telling, these three doors to hell should be shut down, closed. Lust, anger and greed, Krishna says. And the chanting of the holy name exactly demolishes, that destroys these three very bad viruses in our mind. So when the mind is cleansed, then mind becomes your friend. Just like that elephant who was making elephant drawing. Your mind can become like that. And if mind is allowed to be with us with lust, anger and greed, then we'll be like that mad elephant who was lifting the bike, the top to put down. So therefore, Prabhupada says, do this practice of chanting Hare Krishna and hearing the Krishna Katha. And what is detachment? Prabhupada saying Vairagya means detachment from matter and engagement of the mind in spirit. And also activities that are not devoted to Lord. Like here I've shown this, meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. These are all very abominable activities which are degrading to the mind and body and to the soul ultimately. And there are five austerities Lord Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita. Very valuable tips he is giving. I call it as a 5 S's. So by knowing these 5 and adopting these 5, one can very easily calm the mind. Like it's like removing a virus from the mind, then from the computer. Once the virus is gone, computer functions very smoothly. So the word austerity means you have to accept a little voluntary inconvenience for a long-term happiness. That is called austerity. Like singers, for example, when they go for a competition and all, they don't eat ice cream. It's an austerity so that they can sing nicely. In the same manner, many people take up austerities. Like many of you, if you have to get into IIT, NIT and all, you work, day and night you are awake, studying your subject. That's also an austerity. But those austerities are mundane austerity. But in today's topic, I gave the heading, sacred, secret, sacred secrets for steadiness. These are the five sacred secrets, given in the Bhagavad Gita, in the sacred text of Bhagavad Gita. So these are five S's. Let us say a little bit about each of them. We'll recite the shloka also. Manaprasada samyatvam maunam atmamenigraha bhava samshuddhiritetat tapo manasamuchyate. So he's saying that these five things, he says, are the austerities of the mind. The first one is satisfaction. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that if one is hungry, you feed him some food, he will become satisfied. If one is angry, allow him to shout, he will shout and the other person is getting hurt, his face becomes small, then the angry man will also cool down. Angry man will say, okay, now I have taunted you solidly. But a greedy man, Bhagavatam it is said, he can never be satisfied. Even if he conquers all the directions, like Hiranyakashipu, he was actually a Triloka Adhipati. He was a master of all the three worlds. He had conquered the whole universe, still he was not satisfied. So, if you put a sack of rice, a sparrow will come, eat and go, a dog will come, eat and go, but a man is a greedy man. He will take the whole sack and go. He will never be satisfied. He will look for more sacks also like that. So therefore, we have to restrain the greed. Ambition is good, but not over ambition. Like for example, you drive a Maruti at 80 km per hour, it's all right. You drive it always at 120, 140, then the vehicle is finished. It will be burnt out. Similarly, body also. Shariram kaladharma sadhanam. This body is actually meant for spiritual advancement. We should not burn it out. I am deho, deha baja amdaloke, kashtan, kaman, argate vidubujami. Rishabhadev says that. So therefore we all need satisfaction in our life. Just a couple of days ago I had spoken on the topic of luxury versus necessity. So we should learn to be on the necessity zone, not on the luxury zone. Then we will have satisfaction. So satisfaction is like a gumboot, we can say. You know, gumboot people wear up to the knee. Then you can walk on pebbles and thorns, and even you can walk on a rough surface, and the leg will never be affected because gumboot will take care. So similarly, satisfaction is a gumboot in which whatever Lord gives, you are satisfied with that. Secondly, he says simplicity, not duplicity. Duplicity means crooked behavior. Like somebody always tells lies. Like they tell different lies to different people. Later on, when the person comes again, they'll be wondering which lie I told to whom. So therefore, one should avoid duplicitous behavior like Shakuni or Mantara or like Duryodhana, Dushasana. On the other hand, one should be simple like a child. Like you've seen the innocent child. Children are always very excited. When they see a blooming flower, everything they are excited about because they don't carry any tension. They give all the tension to parents. Similarly, we can give attention to Krishna. For Krishna, attention is nothing. So therefore, we should adopt a mind which is simple and not crooked. Crooked mind means a honey tongue with a heart of gall, it is said. Or honey tongue with a heart of poison. Keeping something here, something here, something here, something here, something else only comes out. That's very bad practice. So therefore, one has to learn to be straightforward, Prabhupada says in the purport. Straightforward and simple. One should give up duplicitous behavior. Then silence, he says. Regarding silence, I heard one recently, an interesting acronym, Myopsis Thor. You know, what is this formula? Mind your own business, save yourself, then help others reform. So it's called as Myopsis Thor. Very simple formula, which means first, if you mind our own business and save ourselves, by unnecessarily not poking our nose into the affairs of others, lot of our time and energy will be saved. But generally we have a tendency to interfere with others and get into trouble. And therefore he says gravity or silence, he says. It's not wrong to speak if you can always glorify Krishna. If you can always benefit others. So If you can't, we have a tendency to gossip, or we have a tendency to argue, we have a tendency to debate, or blaspheme, or fall fine, then better to be silent. And then self-control. See, Prabhupada says about self-control. Go to all the Puranas and Mahabharata, everything. Okay, Prabhupada says self-control of mind means detaching the mind from sense enjoyment and always thinking of the welfare of others, he is saying. See, to make the mind austere is to detach it from sense gratification. It should be so trained that it can always think of doing good for others, he says. The more we think of sense enjoyment, the more mind becomes dissatisfied, Prabhupada says. Therefore, we withdraw the mind from sense gratification and focus on Krishna. So now I am concluding this. The mantra already I told you. Prayers go up, blessings come down. Okay. So let us take some questions now. You can put the question. There's a question by Pranav Mishra. Prabhuji, which type of meditation will be more beneficial in improving focus? Mantra meditation or breathing meditation? Actually, mantra meditation goes much more deeper than breathing meditation. Breathing is a very temporary benefit you get. Like you do pranayama, mind becomes a little calm. And what is it like? You take a glass of water in which a lot of dust particles are there, muddy water. It gradually settles. Pranayama is like that only. Later on you take a spoon and stir it, boom, it will all come back again. Or like the grass, you trim the grass, it will again come back. Again like that. That's what Lord Krishna tells Muchukunda. I'll tell you one verse. He says, Yunjananam abhaktanam pranayama adivir manah akshina vasanam rajan drishyate punaruttitam. He's saying, akshina vasanam rajan. Vasanas are not finished when you do pranayama. Pranayama temporarily helps you. But when you do mantra meditation, please all of you repeat. Chanting Hare Krishna destroys sinful reactions, burns sinful seeds, counteracts sinful proclivities, and uproots ignorance. That is chanting. It goes to the avidya root. From avidya comes papa karma. And from papa karma comes papa karma phala. And then we suffer. Everything is finished by chanting. And then Nishant was asking, what happens after death if someone is being killed? Good question. If a person is killed, it's like, for example, say you are living in a house. Somebody puts fire to the house. What will happen to you? You will come running outside. Correct, no? Now your house is burned down. So you'll build another house and you'll live there. Similarly, soul also leaves the body and comes out and goes to another body when a person's body is killed. Because body is the vehicle or the house for the soul. When this body is finished, if somebody has killed this body, then the Atma, myself, because I cannot be cut into pieces. Nainam Chindanti Shastrani. Krishna says that Atma cannot be cut, Atma cannot be burned. Atma is indestructible, imperishable. Eternal servant of the Lord, part and parcel of the Lord. So we leave the body and go to another body. Vishalpur was asking, what is the actual meaning of steadiness according to scriptures? Oh, I told it. What time you joined Vishal Prabhu? I gave almost 10 definitions of steadiness in the beginning. So this PPT, is it available? Where are you putting the PPT? It's behavioral science only you can put. So you can go to live.radishantas.com. There you go to the behavioral science for youth section. Click it. There you'll get this PowerPoint. In the beginning of this PowerPoint, I showed many, many things. Actually, multiple definitions of steadiness, I showed it. Basically, because you asked the question, I will tell you. Steadiness actually means equanimity in Sukha Dukkha Shita Ushna Mana Pamana according to Bhagavad Gita. Stira Buddhi Ratham Mudo, Brahma Vid Brahmani Sriha, Krishna says that. Apart from that, the steadiness of the mind also means consistency. Steadiness also means unwavering mind and focus and determination. There are many definitions. Therefore, I showed all that. Okay. Rajesh Prabhu is asking, when we see unsteady behavior of leaders, And when we see that they get angry with disproportionate anger and they get influenced by any newly arrived junior's feedback, and based on the feedback they lose trust on their senior followers who have served them joyfully for years, how to remain steady in such a situation, it disturbs a lot. Please help, as having faith on leaders is crucial. So what you can think, Rajesh Prabhu, you can understand that these are all some last traces of anarthas in devotees which is coming to surface. Somebody is a senior devotee, he loses temper. Three things you can see. You can see what are his other good qualities other than this. This is a bad quality, but what are the good qualities of that person? That's one thing you can see. Another thing you can see, what good has he done for Prabhupada's mission, for how long? Think about his contribution to Prabhupada's movement. Thirdly, think about what he has done for you. Ask the question, oh, Prabhuji has done so much for me. These three things will help you to become more grateful. And you can complain about it to his senior. And then his senior is a spiritual guardian. He will guide him. Because you are younger, your guidance will not go well. So you can report to his senior. Okay. He is saying, one devotee, Nitish Prabhu. He is saying that I wake up at 3:45 a.m. Since past few days I am studying from 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. These 3 hours are being the most productive study time. I would then do my spiritual duties from 7:15 a.m. What should I prioritize during Brahma Muhurta, studies or spiritual duties, arati and chanting? Can I keep the schedule till I achieve my goal? Kindly note, I work in corporate and I am also pursuing some rigorous academics. Okay, till that rigorous academics, if it is 6 months or 1 year, you want to study for the competitive exam, you are doing this. It's all right, but don't extend it for all life, because the hours which you are sacrificing from your spiritual life for the sake of academics is a very valuable time. The 4 to 7 is very important for spiritual. If you want, one suggestion is you can sleep at night at 8 o'clock, 8:30. You can sleep and get up at 2:30. Then you get more time for studies also. And the Brahma Murtha time you can use for chanting. Chanting is very effective at that time. Okay. Is it correct, this one? Siddhi, I think Faridabad, I think. I can't concentrate on one work at a time and I am facing much difficulty in my studies and also I feel demotivated. Yeah, that's what I was telling also. So one aspect of steadiness is to be able to be focused in one work for a prolonged period of time. That you will achieve by chanting. Initially we all had difficulty. We want to chant one round also many years ago, right? Now how many rounds we chant? 16 rounds sitting in one place, you can complete the entire 16 rounds. So how did it increase? And that is because the willpower has built up now. So, Siddhi, you will also get willpower provided you regularly chant fixed number of rounds, 4 rounds or 8 rounds or whatever. And chanting gives you willpower, chanting gives you determination, chanting gives you focus, concentration, chanting gives you calmness of mind, chanting completely removes all the unwanted bad habits like lust, anger and greed. And chanting gives you thrill and joy because of connection with Krishna. And chanting produces halad, happiness, because Radha and Krishna are there in the name, Hare and Krishna. Sanjay Golipur is asking, as you said, we should choose any one ashram and be steady in it like that, or we need to pass through all these ashrams and attain our goal finally. Yeah, if you want to be in Brahmachari first and then take to Grihastha ashram, then Vanaprastha can do that. But when you are in Brahmachari ashram, do the Brahmachari ashram very well. In case you find it disturbing, you are not becoming steady, then you can move to Grihastha ashram, but there you have to become very steady. The whole idea is, be steady in your practice and progress. Anand is asking, how to be steady in spite of our various difficult external circumstances, especially when one is neglected, etc. How to have firm faith that Krishna is always with us. See, Anand Prabhu, you feel that somebody is neglecting you, but Prahlad was not only neglected, his father threw him off from the cliff. You know, his father put him under the elephants. He fed him to the hungry lions. I don't think anybody will ever dare do that to you, no? So, and the problems that we face are insignificant. By reading about Prahlad, about Jadabharata, I told you today. So these things will give us encouragement that, these guys have gone through much more difficulty than me. So, and then we will develop the strength to face our situations. Krish Prabhu is asking, I heard many lectures and read as well. I also tried to chant extra rounds and also chant 64 rounds in Ekadashi. Very good. I tried to avoid bad association on internet as well. However, still I find I am helplessly dragged to lust desires and bad thoughts, especially at night dreams, where I am going wrong. Why habits? Definitely there is some input going in. You have to find out where is that input. Gigo principle. garbage in, garbage out. Without some garbage going in, we cannot get such lusty desires, because the lust is not the root of everything. Lust actually comes from attachments. An attachment comes from repeated contemplation. Jhayato vishayan pumsa, repeated contemplation. Then comes sangha, attachment. From attachment comes lust. So lust is the third thing. If lust is coming, that means either there is some attachment in somebody, or there is a bad contemplation. We have to work at the root. We have to remove the contemplation and put it on Krishna. Dheeraj Prabhu is asking, does something, drinking tea or coffee, having onion, garlic, breaks, any one of these four related principles? Yeah, tea contains nicotine, coffee contains caffeine, any one of the four. Yeah, this is actually subtle four regs principles. This also we should follow. Yeah. Those who are chanting Krishna round should follow this also. Correct. And post Harinam initiation, Ram Prabhu is asking, I had masturbation fall downs. How should I repent? I don't want my spiritual master to suffer for my sins. Also, please guide how to save from such fall downs. So, you can send a mail to me. I will send you some articles for this. voicemedia.pune@gmail.com. voicemedia.pune@gmail.com. You send it, I will send you some article. Ganeshram Prabhu is asking, is there the way that a city brahmachari stay without phone, even button, and laptop, as he wishes to be away from passionate vibration, emitting gadgets, little aversion due to past fall downs? Oh yes, then you can do more, you know, pujari service you can do. You can do kitchen service. You don't need a laptop in the kitchen. You don't need a laptop in the pujari room. You know, you can do such services. And you can do some preaching also. There are some of our brahmacharis, they don't have to go out at all. In the temple only, you know, youths come, they preach here only. That kind of thing also you can do. Yeah. Animesh Prabhu is asking, how to be stable and steady if our association of friend circle is not good? Oh, this is a very dangerous one. You have to find out at least one or two good friends. Like in my engineering college days also, I used to sit between two boys on either side, very good boys. In my class, I found the most pious boys. And I put two bodyguards on either side. And I will not associate with it. Otherwise, you get carried away by bad association. As soon as there is a one period is break is there, I will go to the library. Sit in the silent zone and study. Because if you hang around, you have to hear all rubbish from others. You have to avoid bad association. When you interact with people, in the office where there is competitive and enviousness, and when you know that if we don't compete, we will miss the opportunity, how to behave like a devotee? Actually, compete means what? You can write some competitive exams. You can prepare yourself. In an honest way, whatever best you can do, you can do. But out of greed, we should not take a shortcut which will bring infamy to you. Anamesh was asking, how to be stable and steady during very tough situation? For that, you study Srimad Bhagavatam. There are many, many situations which will inspire you to gain strength. How to handle laziness while practicing bhakti, especially when it comes to reading spiritual books? So, what you can do, every day before prasadam, 15 minutes you can read. Morning prasad, afternoon prasad, evening prasad, 45 minutes will be over. You say that first Prabhupada books taking in happens, then prasadam. It's called queuing, we call it. Queue it along with prasad, it will happen very well. And Chanchal Swami was asking, Raipur, is it okay to do bad habits like smoking or drinking once in a while, if you have control over it, or is it equally sinful as drinking uncontrollably? Oh, there is no possibility of control over these things. If you smoke or drink once, and dushpurena anilenacha, it's like pouring petrol in fire. That desire will grow, and it'll drive us to insanity. One should not indulge in them. Once in a while, also, it's not at all good. If you had the habit before, you are finding it difficult, you can take equivalent of that for coffee. There is a herbal coffee, a herbal tea. I heard there's a herbal beer also abroad, which is purely from herbal only. They are not from any of this thing. So find out something like that to take, but don't take these things. Yeah, Shubh Prabhu is asking, can we work on emotional platform in case of Krishna? No, emotional thing doesn't work for long time. If you are working with Krishna on emotional platform, very soon it will dry up. Fast to cry, fast to dry. We have to actually use our intelligence, reason, as well as emotion. But both these things should be on a very sound basis of the scriptures. hearing from the spiritual master and all. Can you read Chanakya Niti? Yes, which is authentic one? Yes, from Patita Pavan Prabhu in ISKCON, who has published a Chanakya Niti book. His own is Bhaktivika Swami and his disciples are selling them in South. You can get that. Nice book, Chanakya Niti. So, how many more are there? 10 more? How to fight with the mind and chant, meditate in the right way and bring attention. You can read chanting related books like Japa by Burijan Prabhu. Krishna Chidan Prabhu is asking, how to overcome office tensions and laziness? Already answered it in the previous question there. Actually office tension will go away provided you become more and more controlled in mind and Krishna conscious. Even in office you will be blissful, remembering Krishna. Connection with Krishna gives bliss. So therefore, study scriptures and chanting and live in the company of devotees. Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu is in Hyderabad. You can go to Madhapur Voice. We have a center. You can come to Abhijit ISKCON Temple. I come there 1 week in a month. So connect with devotees and stay in a good atmosphere. You can overcome all this. Dinesh Adar Prabhu is asking, how to follow rod principle? What is rod principle? The formula which I said, Mayapsis Thor. I don't know what is that. I didn't understand the question. Sharad was asking, there are many ISKCON senior folks who after chanting for ages still got allured to opposite gender. How shall we perceive it? One thing you can know that they have served so many years and that is to their record. Somebody served in ISKCON for 15-20 years, so they have a golden record. 20 years of day in and day out they have rendered service. And now also when they move to Grihastha Ashrama, they will properly get married. They are not just eloping with a woman, running here, running there. They are properly getting married. They will settle. And then they will have to do some family duties. Again, they will come back. Vanaprastha will be very easy for them. Because they have controlled senses for 15-20 years. After 50, they will wind up family life, hand it over to son or daughter, and then they will come to spiritual life very seriously. So there is no loss in spiritual life. Anand was asking, in which books did Srila Prabhupada discuss about Goddess Durga? In all his books, you can read Elevation to Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada writes about Durga is the expansion of Subhadra. Prabhupada writes there. In Bhagavatam, in Gita also, Mameve Prapadyante, Prabhupada writes about Durga there also. Abhilash Prabhu is asking, I used to read Bhagavata daily, also I used to listen various lectures daily, but I couldn't be able to put those learnings in my schedule of daily life. As I have no such devotee association, you are in Bhubaneswar, Odisha, okay? Okay, so you can go to Bhubaneswar temple, there is one Tukaram Prabhu there. There's a team of 4 or 5 devotees. They are doing youth preaching. Abhilash Prabhu can go to Bhubaneswar ISKCON. Very nice temple. Then you will get association. They have centers also. They will connect you. Krishna Prabhu is asking, I remain focused and study in the morning time, but as the day passes, my consciousness goes down. In the evening, I feel drained. And in the evening, mind becomes distracted and not able to concentrate. Please give practical tips. So therefore, you can sometimes plan the day. In the morning only, you plan the whole day. Take some relaxation in between. Hear some kirtan, some music. Take some long breaths. See the natural scenery or something, greenery. Do little exercise. After every 1 hour, stretch your hands and legs. And take a deep breath. By doing this, your effectiveness increases. And you can sit through for a very long time. And hearing bhajans, kirtans of Hare Krishna will be very enlivening. So, last 2 questions. Siddheshpur is asking, we can read books like Jnaneshwari, Tukaram Gata. Yeah, Tukaram, there is one devotee in Pune called Vrindavan Prabhu. He's written a beautiful book on Tukaramji. And it's available in multiple languages, Hindi, Marathi, English and all that. And books like Jnaneshwari or Das Bodh and all are very exhaustive books. And they also talk about various things like Jnaneshwari talks about Pasayadan at the end. If you see things like that, I would say that you should first complete reading Prabhupada's books, Gita, Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, because you get the focus very well. After you gain concentration and focus in the philosophy very thoroughly, then reading other books, you can see them in relation to Prabhupada's books. It will be nice. Siddhanta Bishop Prabhu is asking, I want to make career in filmmaking and I am passionate about it. Does it affect my spiritual life? You know better. So in filmmaking, if you want to go, you can ask some good devotee friends. You can go to Juhu. There is one Haridas Prabhu who does ITV. You can ask him, Prabhu, I am going into filmmaking line. What the precautions I should take? You know, what are the dangerous things? Ask him. Somebody like that can advise you better. I am not so aware, but I know it's a risky field. Better you ask him. Haridas Prabhu in Juhu Temple. Prabhupada is asking, if one and only one follows four principles and 16 rounds because of suppression of family, will he get devotee family in his next life? Because he has just passed Krishna consciousness, he has first passed KG, one in bhakti. 100% guaranteed. Actually, if you are chanting 16 rounds and following four eggs, even if the family is not supportive, you will go back to Godhead. Whole life you do that. You don't have to worry. And in case you have something pending to be completed, next life you will come down and you will be born in a devotee family because you are chanting 16 rounds and following four eggs. So I answered all your questions. Now we have a beautiful kirtan team. They are going to do kirtan now. The same team which did in the beginning. I have requested them to lead the kirtan. They are very, very special singers. Harisundar Prabhu. Now you should sing. Harisundar Prabhu and Ami Masundar Prabhu. You can show the camera there. Special Prabhupada ki.